is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Today we're going to talk about something most people only think about once a year, if that, during the third week of November, gratitude. So what does gratitude have to do with your marriage? And how could a lack of gratitude be a huge part of what's keeping your marriage on life support instead of seeing it thrive? We're going to talk about it today, and I'm going to talk about it with my sweet wife. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, because we struggled in all the areas that couples struggle with that you find listed in the table of contents in a marriage book: communication, shared goals, once we had a few kids, parenting and getting on the same page. But we were struggling in an area that most couples don't even recognize, don't see it, don't think they need to work on it, and don't think it's a big deal: a lack of gratitude. Welcome, Vicki. Thank you for joining me. What do you think about the subject of gratitude and our marriage?
It's great to be here. Yeah, I think that was something that really caught me off guard. And without realizing it, instead of being grateful for things in our marriage and about you as my spouse, I had begun to focus on things that I didn't like. And pretty soon, I just had a laser focus on all the things I didn't like. And I saw myself becoming what Proverbs 19:13 says, a nagging wife is like a leaky faucet. And I really like John MacArthur's commentary on this says, and this is like an obstinate, argumentative woman is literally like a leak, so unrelenting that one has to run from it or go mad. And I think that was the kind of woman that I was becoming. And I think you've met women like this. You know, her husband, he has an elliptical in the garage. She's like, oh, he already has a gym membership. Now he's not using the gym membership or the elliptical. He made a bad financial decision back in 1976. We've had the same orange carpet for all these years.
And yet, would you have ever thought that you were that kind of person prior to our marriage?
Absolutely not. Yeah, I consider myself always upbeat, positive attitude. But I think early on in our marriage, I just started focusing in on what's bad about my spouse, meaning you. And obviously you sense that. As we went to counseling to understand, I'm thinking something about the situation. And that was really a game changer for me to understand, I'm thinking something about this situation and responding. Because Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in the Bible, heart is synonymous with mind. And we think, you know, often like 40,000 thoughts a day. I think my mind probably thinks even more. And there's 40,000 things that you're always thinking, you know, oh, we've got to pay our insurance, and oh, that light bulb's out, and I need to take so-and-so to dance practice. It's just like all these things in your mind. So you're constantly thinking things. And it wasn't really until I was exposed to the Word of God telling me how to know what I'm thinking and how to align it more with Scripture that I truly found freedom in this area.
Now, when you say how to know what I'm thinking, are you indicating that it's possible to have these 40,000 thoughts and not even be aware of what it is you're thinking?
Yeah, I remember one time our marriage counselor said to me, you know, what are you thinking? And I'm like, I'm not thinking anything. I'm just thinking, I'm really sad that I married this man and I can't believe I'm in this terrific marriage. And this is now, as a Christian, I have no way out. So, wow, that's the only thing I'm thinking.
So it is something that is common to human beings because we're made in the image of God. This is one of the things that makes us, very often you'll find things about us that are a blessing and a huge plus have a downside. And so it's a huge blessing that we're unlike golden retrievers and houseplants and just animals. We're created in the image of God, which means we think, mm-hmm. we process,
we reason.
We're interpreters. So we try to make sense of stuff. Problem is, so much of this takes place unconsciously and it's just zooming around in our minds. And so the Scripture says a lot about heart, which you already touched on and indicated in the Bible. Get this, when the Bible talks about heart, it is not talking about solely emotions. When you see reference to heart, it is all about feelings, feelings, feelings. And we live in a culture that is all about feelings. There's so many feels. Do you have that feeling? And people go with their feelings. But the Bible talks about something broader and more significant that really directs your life. The word heart in the Bible is the control center. It's your desires, your motives, what you value, yes, what you feel, because you have affections for what you value, and all that is tangled up together, and it really drives you. That's why the Bible says so much about the heart. Guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23, with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So like what you're touching on, Vicky, out of it flows how you're going to relate to your spouse.
Right. And not just your spouse. I mean, this area was just life-changing for me. It changed how I related to my children, to my friends, to my parents. It helped me understand I am thinking something about all these situations. If your thoughts aren't lining up with scripture, you can just get really off into a dark place. And I think I had.
But you learned it in the context of marriage. So you might be listening and thinking, this marriage struggle and problem and disappointment is probably the worst thing that ever happened to me. And it might be.
Right.
But very often, and God takes a trial, a struggle, probably one of your most darkest, painful, I wish this wasn't going on seasons of life. And he doesn't just show you something about that. He shows you something about life and yourself that changes you forevermore. Would you say it's fair to say, I think it's true for me.
Absolutely.
I've never been the same as God helped us work through our marriage problems. It didn't just help me in my marriage. It helped me in all of life. All my relationships, how I view life, what I expect, what I understand.
This is so important. What are you thinking? Because that truly leads to the emotions and your actions. So for me, I call it the 80-20 rule. Let's say your husband is 100% man. Let's say 80% of him, it's like, okay, he's okay in those areas. You know, he goes to work, brings a paycheck home. But I found myself, instead of focusing on the 80% about Brad that was good, I would just quickly go to the 20%. Because of our own sinful flesh, we just quickly go to the downside and what we don't like and what we do want to see changed. So as I focused in on that, then all I wanted to do was think, he's got to change this and this and this. And it just caused me just to be blind to the other 80% that was really good.
The 80% that you see that is right, instead of expressing gratitude, we just think, yeah, he should go to work. Yeah. We just take all that and say, sure. And so we're silent about it. It's that 20% that we think, if I don't point it out, it won't change and I can't live with this. So what's coming out of your mouth so often is all negative. It's just, there it is, there it is, there it is. And there's just silence on encouragement, gratitude, affirmation, because we're so afraid, if I don't say this, it won't change.
And I really had to retrain my thinking and think, okay, what about him is actually something I appreciate? Why did I ever choose to marry this guy anyway? Those things were still there, but instead I just began to focus on new things. So I think when I talk with women, I'm like, you know, you might say, okay, it's not 80%, it's only 60%. All right, well, great. We'll focus on the 60% that is good or the 90%. But it's really a choice to choose to think, what about him is good? Like, wow, I so appreciate the way he treats my parents. I so appreciate the fact that, you know, when I have something that really is bothering me, he will sit down and talk to me about it or whatever. You know, your man is going to be different. But I just was totally blind to the good things because all I was focusing on was the 20% that I didn't like. This is obviously my story, but men can be the same way.
I was doing the exact same thing to you.
This isn't just a woman thing.
Instead of thinking, wow, there's this and this and this and this, I had a long list of what I appreciated, which is why I chose to ask you to marry me. But as soon as we said I do and began to live together, I shifted and you shifted.
Right.
And it created a toxic environment in our marriage and our home where all you were hearing from me was negative things. What about, why don't you, when are you going to?
Yeah. And I think what's so shocking about this is we don't do this to each other when we're dating.
No.
You know, when you're dating, you're on your best behavior. You look your best. You have perfume on. Yeah. You know, you're being very sweet and kind.
Both of us were in shock, I do believe. I was in shock as to how you had shifted and were relating to me, but I didn't even see I'd done the same thing to you. I was not shocked by my own behavior, but I had done the exact same thing. I had stopped. I didn't stop seeing it. I just stopped appreciating the positive. And I thought, well, yeah, that's why I married her. But now that I'm living at close range with her, this, I didn't know this. And this is like, and I hope you realize as Vicky and I talk here, we're not talking about heinous, just horrific things. And so I want you to know some of you listening might be in situations where it is heinous, horrific things. And if that's the case with serious abuse, get help. I believe the scriptures encourage you that you have civil authorities. It is not wrong to call the police. It is not wrong to reach out. And you have church leaders, elders. You need to join a local church and be under their authority so that they can step in. So you have two recourses, civil authorities and church leadership, to help put a stop to. So just wanted to clarify, you would agree, right? I wasn't hitting you. I wasn't. We're just talking about garden variety, everyday stuff where we're different. We're just wired differently. And, but we're just tearing up a marriage and creating a horrible environment over it. And you used a key word. It was my choice. We don't realize, but we do have a choice what we're going to focus on. I think people tend to think, huh, no, it just happened. It just happened. No,
but that's also very freeing.
We're making choices. All right. We've been taught about gratitude and marriage, and we've actually backed it up to say, whew, if you don't get a hold of what you're thinking and what you are constantly rehearsing in your mind and heart about your spouse, then what's coming out of your mouth is going to be very different than gratitude. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to plow on into it some more. How does gratitude, or the lack thereof, affect a marriage?
And you're listening to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney and his wife, Vicki. They're talking today about how our thought patterns shape our marriages. It's a very important conversation. And they're talking about gratitude versus negativity. And if that's something that's hit home with you, I want to recommend a resource from the Fortis Store at FortisInstitute.org that really speaks to what they're talking about here. It's Ryan Borgman's Feelings and Faith. It's a very, very insightful book, a very practical book that shows you how to understand human emotion. And it will help you cultivate godly responses. When you do that, your relationships will start to flourish. Feelings and Faith by Ryan Borgman. It's available in the Fortis Store at FortisInstitute.org. Hey, we're living in a brave new world. I think we would all agree with that. Cultural pressures constantly push against biblical values. Strong marriages matter now more than ever. And Brad and Vicki being honest here about their struggles with negative thinking, it reminds us that transformation is absolutely possible when we start to align our thoughts with God's truth. And that's why we exist here at Fortis Institute. We brought together voices like Brad Bigney, like Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Andrew Walker, Tim Challies, almost too many to name. We brought together some of the greatest Christian thinkers today, and they help you connect head knowledge with heart transformation. That's what you get with Fortis Institute. Check out the Fortis Plus app if you haven't been able to do that just yet. It's at fortisplus.org. And as we watch marriages and families being bombarded by the world, we're committed now more than ever to providing resources that help you stand firm. And so here's the plea. Would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your partnership with our ministry does more than just keep the lights on around here. You help us create content that equips couples, that equips Christians to move from criticism to gratitude, from barely surviving to truly thriving. And as always, we encourage you to prioritize giving to your local church first. So if you're in a good place there, you're faithfully giving to your local church, you're not a slave to the lender in some type of way, then pray about what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You've got questions, we know, and we've got answers to all of those questions. You can find them right now at FortisInstitute.org. And now let's get back to Pastor Brad and Vicki as they continue to talk about cultivating gratitude in marriage. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, you're listening to Thrive, and I've got my sweet wife, Vicki, and we're talking about how gratitude affects a marriage. Actually, what we're really talking about is how the lack of gratitude kills a marriage. But we backed it up a little bit to start with, if you don't know what you're thinking about your spouse and what you're largely rehearsing over and over and believing and focusing on, then you don't realize what's coming out of your mouth is going to be so discouraging because heart and mouth are connected.
Some of these things that I realized that I, so you're like, what are you talking about? What am I thinking? So I'll give you some ideas. So for me, it was like, you know, he's always late. He doesn't call me. He doesn't love me. So, or
yeah.
I'm just giving you examples of things like, you know, he doesn't appreciate all I do around here. So these are things I was thinking that, you know, if you're thinking those types of thoughts about your spouse, that's going to come across like it or not. That's not just going to stay bottled up in your thoughts. That's going to come out. So just, I'm trying to help people think, how are you going to discover? What am I even thinking? So as you're finding yourself getting frustrated or angry or feeling, just really enraged with your spouse, say to yourself, all right, what am I thinking? And some of the things were true, but a lot of them weren't even true. And after a while, you start blowing them out of proportion. And then it's almost like you keep saying these things and you just quickly go back there in your mind of, he's so bad and he didn't appreciate me and he was never like this when we dated. And that pretty soon you just keep saying these things over and over to yourself.
And I do think most of us are given to not just thinking, but exaggerated thinking. We start with a few things that are true, and before we know it, we've pushed it on out and we've exaggerated. We've made it far worse than it really is. And it's just the tendency of human beings. But similar to what Vicky said, I found myself for the first time in my life, I think I was 23, 24, those first couple of years of our marriage. And as we trying to get help, it almost felt like a muscle that I'd never exercised before when I was told, what are you thinking? I know it struck you the same way.
Oh,
I was like, I'm not thinking anything.
Odd.
I just feel this and I know this and I'm saying this. And so I want to say to you who are listening, thinking, wow, it's like it might feel weird at first, but you've got to start forming a new habit. And Vicky said it well. Ask yourself, just hit pause and say, wait a minute, what have I been saying to myself lately? And I like to kind of think in terms of real life. When I'm in the car and the radio's not on and my mind just begins to go somewhere, when I'm in the shower in the early morning and my mind begins to, that's you thinking. What? But we're often not thinking about what we're thinking. So it almost feels hard. I've got to grab it and exercise a new mental muscle to be more aware of what I'm living. Unaware of what you're thinking and what's going on in your heart is a terrible way to live. You'll just be confused continually about yourself and others around you and frustrated. Like, how do we get out of this?
And I think that verse that says, you know, take every thought captive to the obedience
of
Christ. I mean, it's what I'm thinking lining up with scripture.
And that's 2 Corinthians 10:5. That Vicky's talking about, where it says, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and pulling down strongholds and every argument that raises its head against the knowledge of God. You have internal arguments and you have strongholds that can be built up in your mind where, as Vicky was saying, you've thought it so often. It's just like, I'm going to date myself now, but it's like a record. Yeah, we used to have records on a record player. It's like a record that's been scratched.
Those are coming back, you know.
Yeah, I
know.
Don't
know
why, that's so funny.
They are.
Some of the younger people on staff right now have bought record players and they're buying albums. But the thing I hated about an album, and I love music, is once someone jumps into the room, your friend jumps in being silly, and that needle bumps and scratches, then it stays right there and it just repeats that phrase. Well, that's what's happening in our minds sometimes. We're just stuck right there on repeat. And whew, but you don't recognize it. So it starts by being aware of, I'm the one choosing what I think. Or at least I would say it to you this way, choosing how long I stay there. So for those of you that are pushing back, you might be thinking, well, I can't control everything that pops into my head. True. But I love what Martin Luther, the reformer, actually said. He said, I can't control the birds from flying overhead, but I can keep them from building a nest on my head. And think about that in terms of thoughts. Thoughts are soaring around constantly, but I'm the one that decides which one am I going to let land there and just really build a nest. Some of you have built a mental nest about your spouse, and what you've built a nest about is very negative, and that's affecting what's coming out of your mouth.
And I think a helpful thing for me was to even just, and this is so embarrassing, it was so hard, was to write down, what am I thinking about my spouse? And I later did this when we had teenagers. It was so helpful. What am I thinking? And just get a notebook page and draw a line down the middle. On the left-hand side, say, what am I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't appreciate me. He, you know, doesn't help me enough with the kids or whatever it is. Then on the right-hand side of the page, what is the biblical thought that I can replace with this?
Mm-hmm.
And it was embarrassing. It was the hardest. As I work with women to do this, and I'll assign that, they come back, they've almost never done it. Because they just, and I said, I know, it's really hard because you're seeing You're actually writing out what you're thinking, and it's shocking even to you and embarrassing. So I'll use it. All right, let's do it together. Let's sit down and think. You know, as you talk through things, it sounds like to me you're saying he doesn't appreciate you, or you wish he would, you know, help you more with the kids. He doesn't do that, and more husbands should do that.
And even, I agree that it can be a hesitancy to even put on paper what you know is there. But there is another problem also. There's just so much there that you truly don't know. And so I would say, if you need help, you know, say you choose to do what Vicky's talking about, get your paper, draw a line, say, I'm going to try to get a hold of what am I thinking? And you end up with two or three things. Trust me, you don't have it all. And so let me give you a great prayer. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my, what, Vicky? Heart. Know my heart. He knows what's going on in your heart, mind, control center, motives, values, treasure, what you're prizing, what you're clinging to. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Often our anxious thoughts are rooted in things we're concerned about that we think we've got to change that aren't what we want. Know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I believe God loves to answer that prayer. So as we talk about heart, as we talk about thinking, as we talk about getting it out of the dark, get out of the dark of your heart and into the light, pray that prayer. And I believe God would love to help
you. And I think even like for that first one where I said, you know, he doesn't appreciate me, a counter thought to that for me would be, God sees all I'm doing. God sees, he knows. And I think it's maybe Matthew 12:48, as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Mm. So it's like, okay, you know what? Even if he isn't noticing, I don't notice everything he does, but God sees, and that's very encouraging. I can do it as unto the Lord. I get God's grace. So I'm just saying that's the kind of thinking. And I think another verse I really like is Philippians 4:8. Mm.
Yeah, me too. I was just sitting here thinking the same thing. Let me read it. Listen to what this says related to what we're talking about. Your choice, my choice of what I'm going to dwell on. Philippians 4. And here's what I love. I keep saying this, but I hope if you're not a huge Bible reader, that at the very least, listening to our show would cause you to think, you know what? I didn't realize the Bible had so much good practical stuff that could help me in life and my marriage. It really does. Listen to this, Philippians 4. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise. Now, notice what's going on. In most cases, there's some things worthy of praise in your marriage, but you're just not focused there. There's some excellent things, but you're not focused on that. If there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Very often our feelings of unrest and unsettledness and anger and like insecurity and all these negative emotions are rooted in what I'm choosing to think, and I don't have peace. But I'm on the wrong list. Because there are some things that are commendable in a marriage.
And it's almost comical to me. Sometimes I think God does have a sense of humor. It just says, is there anything worthy of praise? All right, okay, you can't see much. Well, is there just anything? Is there 10% of, you know, you can thank God for? So is there anything worthy of praise? Think or dwell. But once again, like I said, it's our sinful flesh. We just want to quickly dwell on what we don't like, what we see that we wish was better or different, or like my best friend's husband, we think he's better at this area. So it's just going to get you into a really bad place.
So our choice, what's going on in our heart, what we're choosing to dwell on and rehearse over and over and say to ourselves, that affects what comes out of my mouth. And it affects the people closest to you most. They're the ones most impacted. And that's what I think is so sad. I was as guilty of it as anybody. Your spouse often gets the worst version of you. You know, sometimes those at work that work with her or him or you, those in the neighbor who would say, what? She's not a negative person. No, the version of you that you're bringing to your spouse is very often the worst and is most negative. And I get it because you're living with them at close range.
Right.
You're most fearful there. You're most disappointed there. You're most concerned and anxious there about things that you think, this has got to change. But oh, God wants something better. And he has something better for us. And he's given what we need, his word and his spirit and direct access to his throne in prayer. So why not stop as this show ends and pray that prayer, Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And consider, God, have I been focused on the wrong things? Do I need to cultivate if there's anything excellent? And I know there may be areas that need to grow and change. And yes, God would love to help you. but back it up and see if you can get a hold of your heart and begin to move it in a new direction. That could begin to change the kind of marriage you have. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm Brad Bigney. I've got my wife, Vicki. And so until next time, oh my goodness, dig into God's word, cry out to God, and ask God, take us to a place that we've not yet been in our marriage.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.